America.
The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience.
Welcome one and all to the DL Debate, the championship, another packed week of action, and we're going to review the lot between hurling, the ladies football, which didn't take place. We've got the intermediate, junior, senior. We've got a look back at it all. Barry Meehan's going to be joining us later in the show to talk about the intermediate and junior championship. Martin McHugh and Gary McDade around the seniors. And sports columnist with The Sun, Jason Byrne, is also going to be on the line to share his views about his career with The Sun and what's happening nationwide with the GAA. That's all coming up on the DL Debate in the next hour. And looking across the glass is the man who is in charge of the operation here, the one and only Oisin Kelly. Oisin, how are you today?
I'm not too bad, Brendan. Not too bad.
Oisin, you finally got back on the mic at the weekend down at the Bridge. You were excited about that last week when I talked to you, and did it live up to its billing?
It did, Brendan. Well, we were glad to be back. We had a wee bit of rustiness at the start, but once we got that out of the road, it was good to get settled back in. First game, doing full commentary since the start of March, and we had a tentative enough affair between St Michael's and Glenswally at the Bridge on Friday night, a game, as we know, St Michael's won, all courtesy of the goals coming particularly from Colin McFadden, who scored two of them. But St Michael's off to a winning start. But from a championship point of view, the build-up to it, the match itself, the feeling around the ground, despite the limited numbers, it had that proper club Donegal championship feel about it. And yeah, it was fantastic to be back.
Brilliant stuff. Yeah, we're stuck in this phase three for now, Oisin. I don't know when we're going to come out of it, but hopefully soon. Just at the weekend there, Oisin, the hurling championship, a lot of people kind of tipped Buncrana to do really well, possibly won it this year, and Satanta and Buncrana both recording victories at the weekend again, and they looked like they're the two teams really pushing it up in the hurling championship. A lot of great work being done down there. Seamus Grant's influence coming through certainly in Buncrana. Two teams are going really well. The ladies' championship, Oisin, nothing happened at the weekend. There was some issue around registration and no games were played.
Yeah, just in relation to the ladies, first of all, Brendan, the games was called off late on Saturday evening. It's all down to registration and how the system handles the registrations, and they weren't processed in time by the deadline of the 1st of August. There was a lot of teams in Donegal very unhappy on Saturday night and Sunday morning that it was a late shout that the games was called off, because obviously people have to work around their matches, be it they've got family life and work life, and so it's a bit of disappointment there. But the ladies association is working hard to rectify it, so there was no games played. Clubs were disappointed, the association was disappointed that the system let them down, but they will get it rectified and they will get back playing again, because the ladies championship here in Donegal was off to a cracking start. They're doing this round robin system this year where all the sides have to play each other, and there was two games penciled in for the weekend. They didn't happen, but it's going to be sorted, and they hope to be back playing football again next weekend. And just on your point in the hurling, I think you've hit the nail on the head. You've sort of become a hurling correspondent for us, Brendan. You went to a match recently, now you're all talk about hurling. I think you hit the nail on the head in relation to the two teams that will play out for the final. It's going to be Buncrana and Satanta. Even at this early stage, I think it's safe to say that they will be the two sides that will be in the final. Who's going to win it? Will it be maybe a year too early for Buncrana, who are a very, very young team? They've been spearheaded, obviously, by the very talented Jack O'Loughlin, and they'll go up against, more likely, a very experienced side of Satanta. It'll be down to those two. Maybe Satanta might have too much for them this year. I don't know, Brendan, but it seems to be that those are the two sides that will be going for the title this year.
Yeah, I just think that with the championship with new teams in it this year, there seems to be certainly a love around the county of teams wanting to have not just their football teams and ladies teams, but hurling teams as well. And you know, that's certainly on the up, our hurling championship. But the main focus of the show now this evening, we're going to turn to two guys who know a thing or two about lifting the Dr. Maguire. As a manager, Gary McDade has done it, and as a player, Martin McHugh has done it, and they both join us now on the show. I just have to put a special word in for Martin McHugh. This is the first time he's been on the show. A man I grew up absolutely idolising. Of course, from the famous class of 92, a few of them been on, but I think the difference with Martin between management and his involvement in sport, he's seen so much, and I hope to get him up to the studio to do a review of his life. He's avoided, of course, the autobiography. He was in Donegal Sporting Greats with, of course, the book that Kieran O'Donnell penned, which was only rightly so. So fantastic to have the two guys on the show. It's an honour for me, Mr. McHugh, and, of course, Mr. McDade.
Goodwill tonight was called Mr. McHugh. It was called a lot of different things, you know, Brendan, but never Mr. McHugh. Thanks for that.
Not at all, not at all. I'll mention it. I'll tell you, Martin, some people leave a profound effect on you, and the first time I shook hands with you was 97 when we were playing you down the championship game. I remember the words you spoke to me. I was haggard on every word, basically, and I was blessed to play against yourself and James. You were just coming to the end of your careers at that time, but very special time for me, way back in 97. The years are moving on quick.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You think, I was just looking at Michael Higgerty, who scored a goal for Kilcare, and somebody's saying he's be 42 on his next birthday. So, you know, time does go in quickly. And, you know, you have to, from a player's point of view, you just got to enjoy it when you can, when you're there, particularly an inter-county career short and everything else. But yeah, listen, Ren, we were lucky enough to get you when you came on board with Donegal. And you know, that famous 97, I suppose, is one that's remembered a lot in Letterkenny, particularly with I don't know how many points you got that day, but I think you got even more. Was it 14?
That was 99, and 97 was the famous one with the shams in the boardroom.
All right, that was it. I thought there were two different.
Not at all. Opening up a few wounds there, Martin. Of course, yeah. The championship that was or never was, but yeah, listen, Martin. As I say, it was great times, and of course, your involvement then, Martin, throughout media, the amount of change you've seen in the sport from when you started playing, it's phenomenal. It's taken such a change, and it seems to be getting the preparation of teams and the up and the ante, the physical side of the game. Every year, just the stakes seem to be raised.
Yeah, I just happened one time there over the lockdown, watch a game, and I didn't know what it was. The television was actually turned down. It was a 2007 match between Donegal and Tyrone in an Ulster Championship match, and I thought, looking at it, was minors were playing. So that's how much it has changed since 2007, even, you know, to the present day, you know. And I mean, the strength and conditioning and all this kind of stuff. And you see, if you even watch players now, and if you even club players, the size of them, you know, the build of them and everything else. And it definitely has been the big, big change in Gaelic football we've seen from back in our time. Suppose we did a bit of manual work, was a bit of an hour time. That's where you got your strength and condition from. You probably were naturally strong because you were doing it from very, very young. But nowadays it has changed completely. And I mean, players spend as much time in gyms and you know, building themselves up. It's a big, big part of it. And, you know, but then I was down in Cavan yesterday covering a Cavan Championship game, and there was a lad called James Brady, a corner forward, scored 2-6, and he was a small fella. So I think there's still a place for the small player in Gaelic football. And that'd be the one thing you wouldn't want to see. You would like to always keep, you know, a talented player. Now, it is tougher at the minute at inter-county level for small players to make it. You know, they have to try to bulk up and everything else. And I've always said to even my own lads, when I was out somewhere in Dubai and somewhere, I met Peter Stringer, and I couldn't believe, first of all, how small he was, but I couldn't believe the size of him, how well he was made and everything else. And that's where maybe the small Gaelic footballers go to. Now, a lot of people mightn't agree with that situation, but I think you have to be well bulked up to play, particularly to play inter-county football at the minute. I was in Cavan yesterday, and Kieran Kilkenny was down from Dublin at the match, and he happened to be in Brendan in the stand in front of me. And I couldn't believe the size of him, how bulk and well built he is. I don't know what he was doing down watching a Cavan Club Championship game, but he was down at the game. But that's where it's gone now. That's the change from my time, particularly, would be the big change since it's my time. And the other one is, I suppose, the defensive part of the game, that in our time it was one against one always. You always went one against one. That has changed too completely. Tactics has come in big time to Gaelic.
Tactics is huge, and a man that knows a thing or two about the tactics, Gary McDade, of course, is on the line, mastermind in championship victories as he does. Gary, you had a whistle stop weekend. Most of us was looking maybe to take in a match, might see a match. You must have some contacts around Donegal, being that you were at five championship games. I don't know anybody would have matched that this weekend, Gary, but you were down on the bridge on Friday evening to kick it off.
Yeah, that's where it started the weekend, Brian. But I think the CCC, Ed Byrne and Frankie Doherty deserve huge credit. You actually could have went to all eight senior games this weekend, and not alone could you went to them, it was the way they had them laid out. So they'd ground after ground beside each other, as in the throw-in times. Like, you could have went from Townie down to Killybegs, then say on Saturday afternoon. So it was very, very well laid out. It was the same in the games yesterday as well. Like, you could have went from Donegal Town to Mount Charles, and then on your way home, say for the boys in North County, you could have got Balbuffet on your way home. So huge credit to the CCC of Ed Byrne and Frankie Doherty for laying them out like that. And please God, long may continue now. But I was down the bridge of Friday night, and listen, it was probably billed as a tie of the round, difficult conditions. So it was quite a strong breeze. The Glen had it in the first half and probably didn't make the most of it. In that first half, St Michael's will probably look back on it and look at the fact that they had so many wides during the game. I think it was 14 that they had, and they only scored, I think, 2 from play. So that's probably going to be a concern for them now, and it's probably something they'll work a lot on this week before they go on to play Milford. Now, the goals won games, and they got the goals, and probably that was one of the major turning points in the game. Young Colin McFadden, he showed tremendous running power, so he did, coming up that right side for St Michael's time after time and carried ball after ball for them. He's just taken off where he left off from the championship last year with him. He's a lad I would know well, coached him for a couple of years at the under-20s as well, and he's so powerful and just so direct in his running style as well. Now, granted, he had a few wides, but he took the goals, and that's what got them over the line in the end. And probably just before half-time, Michael Murphy came out from full forward out to the middle, so he did for the Glen, and that helped to get the Glen back ended. They had 2 late points in from Kevin Marley, so they did, and from young Jack Galler. Jack would have been the minor centre half back last year for Donegal. So it was good to see the likes of him stepping up as well as his county minor midfielder from last year, Keelan Dunleavy, who was superb, and he got 2 points from wing half forward for the Glen. Glen's very much a team in transition. I think we had 5 championship debuts on Friday night, and we had another one off the bench, Brendan. So it's going to be a tough season for them, and they're missing probably a few key forwards, being injured as well. Shane McDavid, who was started for the 20s the last 2 years, corner forward, is out of the club championship. He's just been so unfortunate with injury. He actually hasn't played club championship, but he's missed it the last 2 years as well. So for them to be missing a player of inter-county standard is huge, and especially a forward who's able to kick the ball over the bar. And then you have young Savvy as well, who has pulled up again with hamstring buller. So listen, they're short men, and they're down men, and they're a team in transition. So this is going to be a tough season for them.
Yeah, don't write them off at the same time. The big four, of course, at the weekend, a lot of people saying could someone from St. Michael's or Glenswy possibly push their way into that big four we're talking about. And one of them, the championship, and then their centenary year, Niamh Connell had a huge one at the weekend. Martin Poston, 3.20 to Milford, 6 points. And Kilcare Poston, huge victory over Terman as well. Martin, in terms of these teams, the top four, they just seem like they're so far ahead of the rest. It's such a difficult ask for teams to go into the home patch of them two sides and win a championship game.
Yeah, that's right, Brendan. You would feel that maybe both Milford and Terman just, I'm not saying just went down the field of the fixture, but they would feel that they didn't have a chance of winning the game, so they'd be targeting the next day out from both of them's point of views. Now, I know Milford have to play St Michael's the next day, which is a tough game as well. But I think that you have the big four that at the minute, looking at them, they seem like they're looking at winning a championship, where everybody else is saying, well, the one thing we want to do is we don't want to get into a relegation battle. So you have to pick up enough points to get into that battle. The draw is making a big difference. But, you know, the games are really not of any use, you feel, to both Kilcare and Niamh Connell. Felt that the game, they weren't really tested. From Kilcare's point of view, is, you know, they started sluggishly, and that's the one thing they've looked at. But then they got the water break, and they made a decision to do away with the sweeper, and then they pushed up. And I mean, the game won in the next 10 minutes, they won the match. From Niamh Connell's point of view, you know, they have a style of football they play, but the two big men inside, Kieran Gallagher and Charlie McGuinness, has given them another option that they didn't have in the past, and that's a big option for them to put high ball in as well as playing the ball in. And they play to a real system. They're really well organised off the field and on the field. The organisation from the reserve team play the same way, their underage teams play the same way, so they have a very good system. So listen, you're going to know more about the two teams later on, but no doubt Niamh Connell as champions, that them games against Skiddaw have stood for them, and they're definitely playing with a lot of confidence. From Kilcare's point of view, St. Junior's game next week will tell a lot more about Kilcare, Bren.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, you said about the long ball, you seen it in Kilcoo, and it almost paid dividends for them, you know, winning that Ulster final last year. They came so close. And 3 of the big four, Martin, have been obviously in Ulster finals this last 3 seasons, and, you know, with Godoor winning the actual title. Is it unfair, Martin? Is it just that these four teams have stepped it up so far, or the gap now seems to be widening, and you're looking at a lot of teams that say we were looking Friday evening where the likes of Michaels or Glenswilly or someone could come up with the goods to even match one of these teams? But I don't know, Martin, is it, what do you think, is it just these teams have got so much better, or is there a massive drop then? The likes of Ardra, 4 Masters sides, I guess, have they gone back so far?
Well, probably if you look at taking the Union Skiddaw, Kilcare, Niamh Connell, they've won a lot of the underage this last while, lucky years. You can see that in them. So they've just carried that on from they've been the successful teams that worked at underage. Now you look at the likes of, you know, St Michael's had a very good underage team away back, and they've worked, and they probably feel themselves were unlucky not to win a championship. But they're still, I think they're probably looking at over the weekend at the next best team in the county, and I was very impressed with them and the Bridge. I know they didn't score enough points from, and you always look at points, the 5 points they got was only two from play, as Gary has said there. But I think that they are probably the next best. I'm very impressed with Colin McFadden. He's got himself into really good shape. He's a real good team player, and he's helping them young lads. But I think that looking out that the four are way ahead, and I mean, as told you, they came up through underage, and we see now a lot of teams putting in a big effort. I was at a challenge game between Niamh Connell and Four Masters under 14. There in Four Masters are very, very impressive. Niamh Connell, again, they have keep getting teams too, but Four Masters are definitely have worked at underage, and they will be a team we'll see in the future. I think but we look at it, the success has come from them teams being successful at underage, and then one in competition minor and under 16 minor and under 21, and now they're coming through now at senior level. So it just didn't happen. They've put in the work at underage.
Yes. Gary, did you catch Kidore at the weekend? How were they shaping up, or how were they looking?
Yeah, I was at that game yesterday, Bryn. So was listen, they weren't at their best. They didn't probably need to be at their best, and they still ran up 217, which I suppose is very, very impressive when you look at the final scoreline. In fairness to Four Masters, but like, you know, most people coming into the game were probably expecting Guidoor to give out trimmings similar to what Kilcare and Glenties did the weekend, and albeit they didn't get to those heights, Four Masters were really, really physical and got stuck into them early on. So they did, like, and at the first water break it was 4-2 to Guidoor, and Four Masters were very much in the game, and by the 25th minute they actually had it back to 5-4, so they did, and it was only the last 5 minutes Guidoor started to pull away then, so as I said, it was 5-4. They had won 3 in the last 5 minutes off the first half, and that really left it in a bit of a mountain for Four Masters to climb. It left it 1-8-4 at half time. Started the second half, Four Masters came out and put a huge rally together again, so they did, and by that water break, it was actually three scores each. So they had, but it left it still at 111-7. But unfortunately, that was the end for Four Masters. They didn't score after the water break, got into the last quarter, and Guidoor just really went to town on the scoreboard. Then I think they had 1-6 in the last quarter to put a shine on the scoreboard. But they had impressive debut from the young centre back, Neeson McGillibride, I think he goes by. Really, really big, tall, strong lad. He's only about 18, I think, so he is. And probably on the opposite end of that, Four Masters really impressive inside, the young lad inside, Killian Faulkner. He's only 19. He was a thorn in their side the whole time. I'll say Gary McFadden, who's probably one of the best man markers in club championship last year, got as tough a day at the office as he did last year. Looking at the Four Masters game there at the weekend against young Faulkner, and he's definitely one for the future for some Masters. He was able to score from play, so he was, and from free, I think he ended up with 4 all together, and they played him and Patrick Reid inside, and Neil McGee and Gary McFadden certainly had their hands full with them. But listen, they played Kevin Casty and Big Gab McBride inside. Probably something that you didn't see a lot over the last couple of years, the two of them playing together inside. You usually saw McBride coming off the bench, and they used that high ball once or twice into them, and they actually, McBride caught one of them and laid off to Casty for the goal. So it's probably something in their artillery that they didn't use hugely over the last 2 years, that they maybe have a different bow, have a different arrow to their bow going forward this year.
Yeah, certainly, Gary. And Martin, you were over the road in Killybegs. Now, a lot of people were thinking with Killybegs, one of those teams could push on this year. At home to Glenfinnan, it was a hard game to call, but certainly Glenfinnan running out 6 points winners was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, it was. But Glenfinnan, as we know, are always a very good championship team. And having looked at them, I think that they're probably a Division One team, but they're happy enough supposed to be where they are, Glenfinnan, the way they work. And then they always come good in the championship. And, you know, with Frank McGlynn calling all the shots, they were very, very effective, and Young Ward up front kicked 8 very, very good scores from now. Kelly Beggs lost Q McFadden after 10 minutes, and I suppose that's the only minus out of the weekend was Michael Langan got picked up an ankle injury in the game at the Bridge, and Q McFadden went off early with a hamstring injury. And Owen McHugh had picked up a hamstring injury early on, so some of the county players are picking up knocks, and most people expected that. But Kelly Beggs will be disappointed that, because the next game's away to Gidore, and you don't expect to give them to get anything down in Marygallen. So they'll be, you know, on a team that we thought maybe might make, definitely make the quarterfinals. Now they're going to have to struggle to avoid relegation. That's the important thing for them. But without Q McFadden, which I saw in the match against Kilcarry, was the only player really that stood up and counted in that game. So without Q McFadden, it's hard because teams will target Owen Bangaller. So yeah. I think from Glenfinnan's point of view, listen, great start, and I wouldn't be surprised if Glenfinnan end up. They have a lot of very good young players if they end up in a quarterfinal.
Yeah, and a tight game then, and McCool's just edging out 1 point victors over Ardrahmer.
Yeah, well, Ardrahmer again were always a very good championship team, and you know they'll be disappointed with that performance. But difference is, as you know yourself from your own time of playing, if you have an inside forward that can score, that makes a big difference. And they've Oisin Gallen's come through for McCool's, and that gives them a new dimension. It's easier for the other players, but you know, round, and he's able to get scores for us from free from play, and that was the difference. The big difference in that game was Oisin Gallen's come through, and we know how important it is to. We talk about them big clubs; they all have inside forwards that can get scores, and that's what makes a difference. And we see it even at inter-county level and everything else, how important it is. So he was the difference in the end of. A good result for McCool's, and Paul Rouse has come in this year and doing a really, really good job, himself and Shawson McKelvey together, and it's a good combination, and they really have McCool's going the way we like to see. They're a big town and we want them at the top. We want them up there in Donegal football, and it's great to see that. But 1 point to make, Bryn, the big thing is the water break. Teams are getting, you know, especially the big teams that, you know, what Gary was saying, Four Masters were doing reasonably well. Mulford were doing reasonably well. They started poorly, but Termon and Kilcare were doing well in the water break. It gives the big team the chance to change their tactics, get the thing organised. So it is a change for everybody, and the stats will be getting down quicker down on the field. And down in Cavan yesterday, there's 1 point about the different organisation when you have no dressing rooms and everything else. One of the Cavan teams, Rammer, would be a well-organised team, had a gazebo out before the game where they were using it as for the physio area and that there, because there's rain in there, and using it for the team management and the thing. Just different things that management will come up with.
Yeah, interesting, Martin. You're 100% right. We've noticed that happening, the water break and the tactics. Just last, Gary, a quick word on the weekend's action. St. Noel's coming up from intermediate, just edging out Dunloe by a point as well, and another very tight championship game.
Yeah, and it seemed to be a real shootout between Stephen Griffin and Daniel Ward, both men coming off with 7 points apiece, and I think Ward was phenomenal inside for Dunloe by all accounts, as was Griffin. And Dunloe seemed to have a good few goal chances in the game, possibly even three, and they'll probably feel hard done by this morning when they wake up and look back at them, probably thought they should have got something from the game. But on the other side of that, you have to commend St. Noel's only moving up from the intermediate, and to get a home victory was absolutely huge for them. Like, from talking to some of the people down that area this morning, they were saying that everyone in that team has never experienced a championship senior victory. So it's huge for them. I think it's over 30 years, they said, the last time they won a game in the senior championship. So massive for them to get 2 points on the board early, because most people will be probably looking at the team come up from intermediate. Their goal will be to stay in the senior championship. So they're on the way to achieve that aim.
And of course, looking forward to next week, there's a mouth-watering clash. And Martin, I hope you don't think I've been setting this up. We haven't spoke about St Union's at all, really, and their victory over Bundoran. And we'll not go into it too much. We'll just say Kilcare are coming up probably favourites to win this match.
Good man, Brendan. You know what, but the pressure in for Kilcare. I was just saying to the Kilcare lads there that they would need to win a championship quickly, because the St. Juniors are coming with a lot of good young players, and they have a lot of quality, and it's a new St. Juniors team. And I just know that the vibes coming out of St. Juniors are very, very good. They're well organised, they have everything right, and they're ready for it. So it's going to be a big test for both teams. You know, St. Juniors have a very, you know, as I said, a very good young team, and they've got Niall O'Donnell back on the field against Bundoran, and that's a big, we know how good a player he is, a big plus he is. And then they've got the two McGettigan lads, and they have a lot of, maybe they were lacking a wee bit since Conor Gibbons went away, that they were lacking an inside line, but now they've got that inside line again, and that'll make a difference. I'm looking forward to it. It really will be, hopefully, a great game, and really looking forward to seeing it. And it's a good test for Kilcare, big test for them to see. That'll tell them a lot of where they're at. I mean, you can't read anything into the Termon game, so I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing Unions, because as you know, we know what quality players they produce, and there's a lot of good young players coming through. And even from a county point of view, it'd be great. It's great to go to see them.
Yeah, I just think, Martin, we read so much. I think in the Bundoran's game at Gadoer last year, and I think the thing with the big fours we keep saying is if they drop the performance, there's a chance there. And I think that's probably what happened in that game. No disrespect to Bundoran. A lot of people are saying that's a very hard game to call. Of course, St Union's maybe got the wake up call from the Bundoran's ability and went up there with a very polished performance. But Gary, just around, you know, the likes of a Donald Park on Friday night and its ability to hold a certain level of crowd, is it still going to be at this 200? And you were saying you need to go online to look at tickets for it. It'd be a shame, I think, just with football coming back and the size of the venue, that there couldn't be something sorted around a larger crowd being able to see it.
Yeah, it is a shame, and like, it probably should go. I heard people saying that you probably should go in the size of the ground and what it can accommodate, and it's probably unfair, really unfair in clubs as well, to the point of view that, you know, clubs are struggling because they've had no finance coming in. Club lottos, club bingos, a lot of them were obviously cancelled during the COVID stage one and two, and they're only maybe getting back up and running now. So clubs are don't have great income, so they need every cent they can, championship, and they're usually looking for a payday from a good championship gate. And can you imagine if this was a normal season where you had Unions hosting Kilcar and the championship gate, like it'd be absolutely massive. Like you're probably talking, you're taking between gate, shop, lotto, you're probably talking it'd be worth up to €10,000 for the home club, you know. So it's a huge thing for them to try and make up, which is going to be obviously not possible in the current situation. It's just unfortunate and that there, but I'm really looking forward to the game on Friday night, so I can't wait. The matchups, I think, are going to be intriguing. I mean, when you look at the Kilcar firepower and the St Union's undercounty defenders, and then you flip it around the far side with the firepower that Union's have up front, and like you have the thing as well, like Union's have won back-to-back reserve championships with young teams. They've won back-to-back under-21s, won a number of minor titles in under-21s the last few years, had successful runs in Ulster. They won the Paul McGuire a couple of years ago. A lot of those boys have broken through now to the senior team. So I think their time is very much now. And then, I mean, like, Niall Donnell was only came off the bench at the weekend, and by all accounts, like, he was moving like a Mercedes through the ground. So he was, he just oozes that class. So it's probably going to be difficult for Kilcar. Who they're going to have to pick up all these outstanding forwards that Unions have seemed to produce this year, because they would have got maybe a bit of criticism last year that outside of Niall O'Donnell, they didn't have much else firepower. Now he's joined by his younger brother Shane, and young Duck O'Donnell has broken into the team this year as well. So two lads are well able to impact the scoreboard as well. So it's going to be difficult for Kilcar to handle. But one thing that's impressed me, Kilcar's on twice this year, saw in the league against Killybegs and saw in the last day in championship. They really are, Martin's talking about strength and conditioning, they really are, have strengthened up over the last couple of years. Really, really impressed by Andy McLean in the league game against Killybegs. So he was absolutely fantastic, took the game to them. So he did, and it wasn't if he was against anyone, an average club player. It was Owen Barn was against him that day, and the two of them had a great battle and just went toe-to-toe. So they did throughout the game. And as I was saying off the air, Brent, there, the only club team I know with two S&C coaches on the sideline. So
there you go.
It has paid its benefits anyway with Adam Spear, of course, and young McCarron from Tyrone, who represented Tyrone in the past, working for them. So you can see the benefits it has, and people will see that. I'm sure the game might be streamed even Friday. It's on actually TG Cahir, so people see the benefits of having that investment on Friday night.
Yeah, Gary, I need a bit of S&C myself after the lockdown. Well, of course, the game is on live on Highland Radio. Oisin Kelly and Martin McHugh will be giving you full live coverage of the game on Friday evening. So fascinating games in store. And we want to pick some winners from the weekend from our two experts. That game then, Gary, can you call it for us? St Union's at home to Kilcar?
Well, I know we're under pressure time-wise here. Quickly, I'll go for St Union's because of the home venue, I think.
The home venue, staying safe. Gadoer v Killybegs, Martin.
I'd expect Gadoer to win, but, you know, just say one point back to Gary there. We're still trying to catch up with Glenswally, the amount of men they have on the sidelines. We've a long way to go to get to them yet in Kilcar, so we're trying to get there. We're doing our best.
Very good. Tiernan, Oisin's club, Tiernan at home to Bundoran, Gary.
I think Bundoran's experience, I mean, Termin are very much a team in transition. I think there were six minors started the weekend. I think they finished the field with eight. I mean, they're at a different stage of development. Bundoran are slightly ahead in their development. They beat them by a point last year in the Burn Road, so I'll give the nod to Bundoran.
Good man. And after a great result last week, Glenfinn are home to St. Noel's. Martin, can you call that one?
Yeah, difficult enough one to call, but I just feel Glenfinn home advantage. The difference with Padder Morgan again, scoring, you can never write St. Noel's off, but I still think Glenfinn home advantage.
Nice one. Milford v. St. Michael's, Gary.
Milford last weekend, in fairness to them against Glenties, they were missing four. They're starting six defenders. I think they'll have TJ Evison definitely back this weekend. But I still think it just won't be enough if St. Michael's be working hard on their shooting all week after the 14 wides. And I think you'll see St. Michael's in 4 points after the game this weekend.
And Martin, can the Derby fact pull an Ardra performance out of it against Niamh Connell?
Yeah, difficult for them with the way Niamh Connell's playing and everything else. So it's hard to see. You know, I was at the last championship game they played in Ardra, and Niamh Connell had an easy enough victory that night, so I can't see anything else other than Niamh Connell victory.
Yeah, and Dunlow versus McCool's, you're right.
Dunlow versus McCool's, it's probably the game now. You're thinking of Paul Rouse and his team will be coming in there, and they'll be thinking, we've got 4 points on the board here. And like, and to me, Brendan, 4 points will get you into a quarter final on score difference. So I think McCool's this weekend, and from talking to people last night at the game, it was very much a Tyrone style, all behind the ball, no one inside when they lose it. Everyone's back when they turn the ball over, bang, it's like a pack of 10 are getting up the field. So it's very much that Paul Rouse has adapted to Peter Donnelly's school of coaching, so he has. So we'll give the nod to McCool's.
Very good, Gary. And last on the list there, Martin, Glenswilly versus Four Masters.
Yeah, again, Glenswilly would be disappointed with the performance in the bridge, but you expect them at home advantage. And they know when the chips are down, Glenswilly always come good. So Four Masters did beat them before down there in the championship, but I can't see anything other than the Glenswilly victory.
Brilliant, lads. That's a fantastic roundup and a few digs thrown in as well, which is always healthy in the DL debate. Yeah, listen, Martin McHugh and Gary McGlade, thanks so much for joining us this evening. Right now, part two on the DL debate. We're switching our attention to the intermediate and junior championships that got on the way at the weekend. And I'm joined by a man that knows a thing or two about lifting the Cathal McLaughlin Memorial Cup. It is Barry Meehan. Barry, how are you?
How's it going, Brendan? All good, thank you.
Good man. Yourself, Barry, you had a couple of successful years. You were down in St. Noel's. You're obviously the current holders, but you decided to hang up the whistle this year. You'd done enough going up and down the gap there.
Ah, yeah, listen, very, very enjoyable time, Brendan. Like, really, really enjoyable 2 years. And, you know, it was great to see the lads progress over those 2 years. But just suppose with my own personal commitments this year, I wasn't able to give it the time that's needed. I suppose COVID kind of changed a lot of that there, but you know, St. Noel's this year, they were going up into senior championship, and they were also kind of really looking to make a big push to go to Division 1. So we weren't far away from Division 1 last year. I think it was a point in it at the end. We were a point off promotion. I suppose that kind of goes on as well then for the championship. Listen, they're back up in the senior and had a good result against Dunlow yesterday, so fair play to them.
Yeah, magic. And listen, when I was captain of Unions, my vice-captain was Eddie Brennan, you know, a very inspirational guy, great speaker. He was on helping you, and he's moved on to Downings. The two of you were in charge of St. Noel's the year before last.
Yeah. The first year we went down there, it was myself and Eddie, and we were very close. We were beat by the eventual winners, Glenfinn, in the semi-final. We were point up going into injury time, and listen, they came back and they beat us by one. And listen, Eddie wasn't just able to come up last year with different things at home and that there, but yeah, he's back involved this year with Downings, and again, they had a real ding-dong battle there with Letterkenny Gales at the weekend, you know, and I think Eddie will take a lot from that there, because, you know, to go up, to go away in your first game, and to be, like, to hit 17 points, and, you know, they're probably unlucky not to win the game, but still, listen, they'll take a lot from that there, and probably I would still say maybe slight favourites for the junior championship.
Yes, and you know, the Intermediate Championship is obviously going since 1977, and there's so many teams have built their platform from there. You know, recently you think of, you know, the likes of Glenswilly, obviously St. Michael's, Termin coming up from that grade and really putting a push and getting into county finals, winning county finals. And at the minute, again, it looks like a real tough competition. You have former greats, I suppose, wearing the likes of Niamh Columba, you know, A. Rua, sides that got down there that used to be at the top of football, and it's a matter of, I suppose, building again to get back up there. And over the weekend, Barry, was there anything caught your eye in the Intermediate Championship?
Yeah, especially that first one you mentioned there, Brendan, Neve Columba. You know, they really are a young team coming. Like a lot of this Neve Columba team played Kilcare in a under-21 championship game in 2013 and took Kilcare the whole way to extra time. That was the infusion. Steve McBurty and Matthew and Andrew McQueen would have been in that team. You know, so a lot of these young Kilcare boys, or these Glen boys, are coming through now. And the likes of Finn Gallagher and Aaron Doherty and Ryan Gillespie and Christopher Byrne, like, you know, really, really top players. And they counted for 211 of their 213 there at the weekend. We came up against them in the quarterfinal last year with St. Noll's, and they were 9 points to the good at one stage. Now, we were lucky enough, we came back and we won it from the day, if you know. But listen, they're a really good team. And with Aaron Doherty, like, he's a top notch player. Very hard to handle, and they seem to be playing him at 11 this year, and he seems to be really, really doing the goods there. So, listen, Neve Columba would definitely be one to watch, and they did very well there at the weekend. Suppose looking at the Arua, were very, very close to making the final last year. They caught by Clonie Lee with a goal late in injury time and of extra time in the semi final up in Convoy. They started off very well against Burt at the weekend. They were 9-1 up at half time. Looked very good. You know, their forwards work rate was really, really impressive. Really playing a high press and pushing them all the time. But listen, Burt came back at them in the second half, and only for two really, really good saves from Peter Boyle. One from Ronan McDermott. Like, it could have been a very, very different game. Like, you know, so Barry Ward won't be happy with the second half. But listen, I think it's probably good that they got that there out of their system early, and they've got a tough game coming up now this weekend against Neve Breed down in Truman. Neve Breed would have made a semi-final last year, and suppose, you know, they wouldn't have been happy with their performance yesterday against Glen. So that group's going to be tasty. It's going to be tasty coming in the next couple of weeks. Like, Fanny Gales played Clonhilly there at the weekend, and Fanny Gales be a young team. Maiden McAteer would have had a lot of those at minor level, and they won a minor division 2 a couple of years back. And like, at one stage on Friday night, they were 1-4-7 on 30 minutes, and only for two quick fire goals there from Paul Sweeney. You know, that gave Clonhilly the platform, you know, to kick on the second half, and they kept Fanny Gales at arm's length. So listen, that's going to be a tight group there, but you would expect Arua, Clonhilly, and Neve Columba to come out of it, and whoever else then from the other three.
Yes, yeah. And tell me, again, there's so many challenges for this title. Red Hughes at the weekend in Neve, was that a bit of a surprise result, or are we reading too much under the first game?
Well, suppose if you're going in whatever form that was out there at the moment, you know, Neve Wirra, you know, wouldn't have been going that great in the regional league. But listen, Neve Wirra down there are very, very tough to beat. You know, Red Hughes were going well, put up a couple of good results. They would have been a point off making the semi-final last year. Neve Breed only beat them by a point in the quarter-finals. You know, a very, very tight game. You would have expected Red Hughes to go down there maybe and maybe sneak a one. But listen, Neve Wirra, two quick fire goals in the first half from Paddy McCafferty, and it was 2-3 to a point after 20 minutes. You know, so, but listen, Red Hughes came back to it in 4, so they'll be happy with that. But listen, Neve Wirra saw it out. I think it was really nip and tuck in the second half. But listen, I would still expect Red Hughes to come through in that group, along with possibly Buncrana and Mallon. Now, I know Buncrana were comfortable enough against Mallon yesterday. But listen, Mallon will probably have a say in that there group before things end. And Neve Ulton play and Neve Colmkill tonight. So listen, whoever comes through that there with 2 points will give them a good foothold in that group as well.
Yeah, fascinating championship. Big weekend. Buncrana winning the hurling as well, of course. A lot happening down in Buncrana in GAA terms. Barry, next week, is there any big games in there, mouth-watering clashes you can see that's for you is going to be teams that are going to be there in the shake-up at the final?
Well, if you look at, suppose in Group B, you have Clonhilly against Neve Columba. That should be a real humdinger. That's down in Fulcara, you know, so that there should be a real good game. Neve Breed Arua is a derby match, a local derby, plus Neve Breed, you know, really need to win now after losing there yesterday. Like, if they were to lose again, it could put them in a precarious position. And even just the fact Burt and Fanad, after both of them losing at the weekend. You know, they really need to get a one under their belts. And listen, I'd fancy that Fanad team going to Burt. Their young team, young Mark McAteer with them, he's in great, great form. I think he kicked maybe 1-3 or 1-4 at the weekend. You know, really, really good player. And the other group coming up next week, you know, Red Hughes, Buncrana probably is the standout fixture there. Red Hughes really needing a one now to get themselves back in contention there. And suppose, listen, depending on how things pan out for Leave Colin Kill tonight, you know, the loss of Michael Lynch is a big factor, and they'll be going to Mallon next weekend. So listen, they're going to be tight games as well. So listen, it's still all to play for in those groups, but there's going to be some good games next weekend, I think.
Yeah, it's all set for a cracking championship. Brian, the junior championship, you know, it's been really highlighted, I suppose, since the likes of Niamh Colm Kilwitt and a fantastic run through Ulster and then, of course, Red Hughes. And it's really elevated, I think, all the championships, I suppose, in terms of going on to the provincial stage. You know, it's really pushed up, I think, the interest and teams with the possibility, obviously, with no Ulster this year, but that level of competitiveness is in all our championships now, which makes them all interesting. And everybody seems to probably be getting their act together around coaching and setups and facilities, everything, you know. So, junior championship again, very, very interesting one coming up this season. Just looking at goals again over all the championships at the weekend seem to be the big factors in games, you know, goals won, games, and the junior championship was no different.
Yeah, listen. You hit the nail on the head there, Graham. Like those teams coming up out of junior championship, all of them have held their own in intermediate in the following years. The likes of Red Hughes and the likes of Niamh Colm Kill, you know, and you would expect Buncrana really to hold their own this year again after coming up. And suppose, as you said there, the goals were the big factor in the junior championship this weekend, like in Group A, Convoy. You know, Lawrence McMullen will be very happy, like with the 3-9-11 one against Cairn, you know, to get off the mark. Down in Pettigo, Urris got through 1-9-7. You know, Pettigo were going to make it tight for them down there, but listen, Urris came through. Convoy have to go to Urris next weekend. That there will be interesting, you know, so that'll be a tight game down in Urris, okay? So listen, looking at the Group B, you would expect Moville to get through against Robert Emmett, and they did, you know, 2-16-1-11. And suppose the game of the weekend that was billed was Letterkenny Gales against Downings, and really, listen, it lived up to the billing. You know, finished 3-8-17 points. The Gales snatching a goal and injury time to level it. It really was nip and tuck early on. You know, the Gales getting a goal early on with Conor McBurkey, then Downings ticked back to level. By half time, the Gales were 2-up. Then Downings were back ahead. Gales were back again with a goal from Brian Dever to go 2-up. Then Downings went back again and really, really nip and tuck then the whole way. Downings were ahead by 4 then. Then the Gales brought it back to 3, and then that goal really at the death. You know, so listen, both teams, I suppose Downings would probably be the most disappointed with that after being 4-up. They probably should have seen that there out. The Gales showed brilliant resilience to come back again. You know, Sean McBurkey will be very happy with that there. And suppose, listen, the top two teams in junior get a straight bye to the semi-finals. So both those teams, you know, would have been thinking, well, if they had got that one at the weekend, they would have been in pole position for that semi-final seed. But now probably Moville have a chance there. So they got a good one at the weekend. So I would say it's between Moville, Letterkenny, Gales and Downings to top that group. And listen, probably that last game between Moville and Letterkenny Gales in round 5 could be a very important game there.
Yeah, Barry, that's a brilliant roundup of the two championships. Looking forward to see how this unfolds, and I'll be talking to you again as the championship continues. Barry, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks
on the Daily Beat. Chat to you soon.
Bye now.
And now, folks, the third and final part of the show. I'm joined by Killy Beggs, native and sports writer with The Sun. It's Jason Byrne on the line.
Well, Brendan, how are you?
Jason, how are you, sir? Great to talk to you. Jason, you are a sports writer with The Sun, also a poet of some note. I hear reciting poetry at people like the famous Paddy McGill's wedding. Is this true?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, geez, I don't know how you got hold of that information. I started doing these things on Facebook a few years ago, and then it kind of spiralled into stuff for people's birthdays and weddings and that. And yeah, I done one for Paddy's wedding, our good mutual friend from our draft. I was nervous before that one now, but bit of crack. You throw in a few digs here and there, but you have to keep it all above board too, because there's obviously a lot of family in the room and you have to keep the bride happy.
I hear you. I'll not ask for one of them now. I might get one off you down the line. It's a funny thing, that, Jason. I presume you can't sing.
I think I can when I have a few.
Oh, can you?
No more than yourself.
I definitely can. Jason, I was trying last night. You can probably hear it in my voice. But Jason, I was my uncle, I remember years ago, he couldn't sing and he had this thing where he would recite a poem to get involved. I thought that might have been your handle. But listen, Jason, you that's, I suppose, side of your life in terms of got you into doing journalism. How did that come about? Is that something you studied for? And listen, it's a great job you have there with the sun covering what we all love, our Gaelic Games.
Yeah, well, to be honest, Brendan, like, I always loved football growing up, just like all the lads that we grew up with in Killybegs, but the only problem for me is I wasn't very good at it. I was working in Melly's Cafe at the time, and I made the most of me dinner breaks, should have put it that way. But I always had a love for writing too, and me teachers at school kind of really encouraged it, like, so... sports journalism was always something that I really wanted to get into. Like, you know, I remember, like, as back as far as first, second year in secondary school, like, you know, I used to read the papers at home cover to cover. The Donegal Democrat was always the staple one in our house. You know, and I just used to start writing bits and pieces when I was in school. And then I went to college in Galway and done an arts degree, and it was still always in the back of my head, like, and there was a master's in journalism there in the college, like, and I got involved with the college paper when I was doing my arts degree, and was just doing sport there the whole way up and managed to blag my way into the Masters, and then had a great crew in there, and some of them have gone on to do really, really well. Some of my fellow students in there, Andrea Gilligan from Ballyshannon, she does News Talk Breakfast. She'd be very well regarded now in the national circuit. Fintan O'Toole from Cork's the GA correspondent with the 42 as well, and a few of the rest of them have gone on to do some great things too. So I managed to get a placement then in the Irish Daily Star, and I was in there with Kieran Cunningham, and great crew in there too. We had great crack working in there. I was in there for about a year, and then kind of, you know, they weren't in a position to offer anyone full-time work, obviously, because you're into 2008 and the recession starting to bite. So I went back west to Galway again and kind of got a side gig with Galway BFM. So I always wanted to try out the radio side of things too. So I was there for a good 6 years, freelancing for the papers on the side as well, and doing matches all over the west, like, and the opportunity came up with the Irish Sun in 2015, and just took a stab in the dark and went for it. And Cathal Derwin was sports editor at the time. He's in with the FAI now, we'll not go into that, but he took a punt on me and he hired me, and he gave me the start, in fairness to him, and I've had a great 5 years in there. And there's massive Donegal connections in the office too, like, me sports editor, Kieran Farn, his father's from Buncrana. The editor-in-chief, Kieran McDade's from Buncrana, and our digital editor, Declan Ferry's from just outside Letterkenny too. So there's always plenty of Donegal chat in the office, you know. So loving it in there, to be honest, just delighted. Games are back now, DV as well. So, I've had a great 5 years in there now, I must say. It's been a great laugh, and they're great to work for. It's really, really enjoyable, you know.
That's brilliant stuff. And tell me, Jason, obviously the whole thing about the print media now versus the online and that, it's changing rapidly, I suppose. You know, you still have your hardcore of newspaper readers, but the online thing's becoming a huge side. Is that something now, Jason, do you kind of split your time between the two, or how is that sorted out, the Sun?
Yeah, it is changing rapidly, as you said. Like, I can see, like, you know, you've young children, DB, like, you're going to be telling them what newspapers are when they grow up, I'd say. You're probably going to be telling them what they wear. There's going to be a lot of the newspapers do eventually go, they're just going to shift completely into all online platforms, and, you know, you'll have to pay your fiver a month or whatever to read them, you know. But a lot of the stuff we write now does tend to go up online straight away, or if not, the next morning. Like, it's just changing so much. It's changing so much so fast. Like, and, you know, video content's a big thing now, and podcasts, obviously, are, you know, just fantastic. Like, so it is changing all the time, as you said. But, you know, where it's going to be in 5 years, I honestly couldn't tell you, because things are just changing that rapidly, you know.
Yeah, getting people to divvy out, is, I think, is the key of struggling how to make money out of that, because some people just snatch in for a story and then someone has to pay and they're straight out of there. But fascinating to work with Kieran Cunningham. You know, Kieran's been on the show a few times now, and he's such an interesting guy. He has some deep knowledge of sport, you know, and I used to be going to an odd talk night and I would ring Kieran on the way and he would just always pull out things. You'd be like, wow, yeah, that's right. He has some brain for sport. But Jason, tell me, you cover, like, at the minute covering all Donegal GAA is a challenge, but you're nationwide. How does that work, Jason? Is there certain stories you go after, or do you divide up the country, or how does it work?
Yeah, it's different from week to week, Brendan. Like myself and me, I have a great colleague in Gordon Manning. You know him well too. He's from Kells in County Meath. Him and his family were had a great holiday in Donegal last week, I believe. So, but listen, it depends from week to week. Like, you literally get up in the morning and you scour the internet now to see what's happening, and it gives you a feel for what you want to do throughout the day. Like, and on a Monday or a Tuesday, then you would look at your fixtures and decide what matches you want to hit at the weekend. So, like, for example, just last week, obviously these circumstances are unique, but last week, just looking at the fixtures, I decided to go and do a feature on Corrifan, who were playing yesterday, and they just happened to score 7 goals and 17 points. But in a regular championship season at this time of the year, like, you know, you'd be into this weekend, we should have been watching the final round of the Super 8. So you would pick out your two most crucial matches. Gordy would go to one and I would go to the other, and the rest would be covered by freelance supporters or whoever else could supply the copy, you know. That's pretty much how it works from week to week. And, you know, obviously if there was a big story breaking in a county about an injury or something like that, like, one of us or both of us would have to chase it up. Like, it's a more difficult side of things now these days, of course, because a lot of inter-county managers just, you know, they run a very tight ship, and it's very hard to get information out of those camps, and that's just the way it is. So you kind of have to use any kind of way you can to try and get the story on the page, you know.
Yeah, and if it is, it's very much just the normal soundbite, you know. You often have to get somebody just maybe close to the camp, or who's just left the camp or has been involved, to give you maybe a real story on it, because everybody's always protecting in case anything should slip out or give anybody any advantage. It's got very serious. Jason, just in phase three there, you were at the Corrifan game yesterday. Was strange atmosphere. I mean, I can only imagine the amount of the stadium that there could have been people in, that there wasn't. I mean, it's a bit frustrating, I think, for a lot of people. I was at a hurling championship game there the other week, and I would say most of the crowd was in one corner, and it was about 70% of the perimeter. There was nobody in, and I just thought it's a shame people are missing games because of this, I suppose, blanket or one size fits all approach to going to sporting fixtures.
Yeah, it was very strange in there yesterday, Brendan. Like, the game was on in Pierce Stadium, and it was on live on TG Cahir, but, like, I was chatting to the stadium director at Pierce Stadium, Sean O'Toole. I'd know him well, and, you know, I asked him, was he delighted to be back, and he said, you know, he wasn't delighted to be back in these circumstances, like, you know, because there was just 200 people splitly sparsed across the stand. There was nobody really allowed on the terraces, and, you know, he was reading out the team sheets, just hearing his own voice echo back into him, you know. On a different day there yesterday in Pierce Stadium, it was a double header. You would have had 5,000 or 6,000, you know. It was just very, very strange. It didn't stop Corrifan from doing what they do, mind you. It's 7 different goal scorers. They were like Barcelona there in that second half, but it was very, very strange. I was talking to a couple of the heads in the Galway County Board as well, and they were kind of bemoaning it too, not from a money point of view, but just like, there was no atmosphere in there yesterday. Like, the players were walking up to the stand afterwards to get togged in, and it was just very, very odd. Like, and you know, hopefully now that the crowd increases will come, and that we can start to get 500 at least into the games to kind of give a true feel for what it's like, as long as everyone stays safe, of course, you know.
Yeah, brilliant stuff, Jason. Thanks so much. And your homeboys in Killybegs, after an early defeat there, have to go away to Gdor next week. A tight assignment, and we wish them all the best. I know you'll be rooting for them there. If they could pull off a shock one, that would be a big thing, Jason.
Yeah, you know, the boys will no doubt be hurting from what happened in Finchley on Saturday evening. A 6-point defeat against Glenfinn, who were full value for their win, so I believe. Obviously I wasn't there, but it was you know, I was hearing the reports afterwards, like losing Hughie McFadden after 20 minutes to injury was obviously a massive blow. You know, people will be shocked by that result, but like, Killybeg still have a very, very young team, and the upward curve is there, and you know, John Cunningham's doing the right thing along with Rory Gallagher in there, and you know, some of those boys haven't even sat their leaving cert yet. You know, we're back in Division One. If we can stay there for a couple of years and just keep developing, I think that'll be the main thing. You know, because we were in Division Three not too long ago and kind of in the doldrums and watching all the other clubs around us only get stronger, but we're on that upward curve again, and if we can keep a lot of those young boys together and keep them playing football and keep developing them, hopefully, you know, things will be back in an upward curve again, and we can start talking about county finals and that, like, yeah, like we got to in 2010 and 2013, and you know, start thinking about the glory days again. But you know, those days aren't here yet. It's going to take time.
Take time, good man. Jason, good way to finish it. Hopefully Killybegs are on that upward curve and they keep going. Thanks for joining us this evening on the DL Debate.
Brilliant, Brendan. Thanks a million.
Right, folks, that's our wrap. Thanks so much to my guests, Gary McDade, Martin McHugh, Jason Byrne and Barry Meehan, for a brilliant roundup of the weekend's action. I want to thank Oisin Kelly for producing the show, and I'll talk to you next week.
The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience.